In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we continue these morning services, I will read from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And Amen. Prayer is the heart speaking with God. Have you service guest thought here at this service site or listening to it at home what possibilities you have received to discuss directly with your Creator, to tell about those matters which press your mind, to ask for your own endeavor, power for yourself and for your dear ones, so that you would have the strength to travel on this way of life and to fight against sin. We who have been able to come to these summer services, many probably think of those dear ones who are left home, some because of sickness, some because of work, or may even be so that did not have the wherewithal, the resources to come. No matter what the reason for not coming, we want to remember you at home in prayer so that you also would receive strength to endeavor in this faith which you have begun. Many times in prayers we ask, at least I ask God for many things, but rarely do we remember, at least I do not remember, to thank. But when I prepared for this turn to serve, and I was thinking about what text to read, the psalm came to mind, the prayer that the psalm writer said, One thing have I desired of the Lord, and will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. I don't even completely understand this part of the Psalms. But at the meeting of the speakers and elders, a familiar old brother sat next to me and began to speak about this place, some experiences. And I asked a bit, that I'm interested, that do I understand this portion of the Psalms correctly, what that means, this beautiful serving of God. And we decided it is not wrong to think that it means that when a person asks for forgiveness and the sins are washed away through the gospel. What is this other than serving God? I would search for this temple. We think of this, and I dare think aloud. This means this is the endeavor of the believer, that even with a timid mind, if we do not know, we ask, and we are satisfied with what the Spirit tells the congregation. Like the disciples, we feel we are poor prayers. It is hard to find words, even though we have much to talk about. Many times we feel tired. As the enemy of the souls preaches unbelief to us and tells us how poorly our journey has turned out. The Bible talks about Moses, how Moses' hands tired in the midst of these temptations and tribulations. But Aaron and Hur carried his hands. And then Moses again had the strength to keep his arms of prayer up. Even yet God works the same way. He battles on our behalf. He listens with a sensitive ear to those prayers which are sent even from these services, which are read aloud, and which you, dear service guest, pray, whisper in your heart. There are many here who carry you in arms of prayer, who also have a staff, which Moses also has had. It was the staff of the gospel. The Apostle Paul also emphasized the importance of prayer when he said that pray with all prayer and all petition in spirit, and watch because of the holy and on my behalf, so that I would be given words to speak with an open mouth and to make known the gospel, the secrets of the gospel. I found this portion in the Bible has spoken to me during these days when I have known that this time to serve was approaching, and the dear brothers and sisters have, very many have called and sent text messages and have encouraged me that it is God who can help. I've been able to note that people remember in prayer. They remember us speakers, and it feels even more dear. When most of them have been from my home Zion. And even I, carried by your arms, have come to this place. Even yet this morning, I received a message from my son, who is in Tampere with his child. His message was, "Father, much strength for your sermon." many, when I wasn't the speaker yet myself, the speaker said that it's a secure feeling to come when you feel that you're remembered in prayer. And I thought that I have not remembered to pray. But now that I have been put up as a speaker, I have often thought that when I came to services, I did not always pray with my hands crossed. But many times I had temptations and things which pressed my mind, and always prayed as if in thought that if only God would give words for my heart, that I would have the strength to travel on. In this portion of text which we read, it is a very familiar text. Martin Luther says of this text, "It is always fresh." And he eats and drinks like an adult, and he sucks on it like a child, and he's never full. It is always current, and it is something which Jesus himself has taught. In this prayer, we can approach our Heavenly Father as children approach their dear Father. And we can say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, if we were to ask, for example, in town or in a village, where does Jesus live? Surely we would get as an answer, God lives in heaven. But in the Bible it is said, God lives in holiness and highness, and also with those with a broken and humble spirit." Meaning that he is here in the midst of his children. The grace kingdom of God is here in our midst. And the borders of this kingdom go from heart to heart. And the inhabitants of this kingdom have the authority given by God to forgive sins. And so a person who believes is transformed into this kingdom, which is a kingdom of grace here on earth. And then one day we can reach the kingdom of heaven. Hallowed be thy name. The Catechism says in this way, the name of God is holy in itself, but in this prayer we pray that the name of God would be made holy amongst us. The name of God is sanctified when we attempt to live and be obedient to the Word of God, so that we would not do things which would make God sorrowful. It includes the cross and many kinds of things. But as redeemed sinners, we have the Holy Spirit which teaches us if we have broken the will of God. But if we live as in this world is lived, or if we live that we as if try to keep one foot in the kingdom of God and the other foot in the world. And it may even be strongly in the world. This is shaming the word of God. We cannot serve two servants. If we serve one, then we hate the other. Or something like this is said in the Bible. He hates one and loves the other. Thy kingdom come. The Catechism says that the kingdom comes even without our prayer, but we ask that it comes to us also. When Cornelius prayed to God, he was godly and he feared God. But he did not have peace in his conscience, and he was told how the kingdom of God will come when he sought Peter, a believing man, called him to his home, and so it happened. And when there were services held in Cornelius's home, the Bible tells us, the Bible says that as Peter spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the words. God hears our prayers when they are sincere. The servant of Candace made a long trip searching for peace for his soul. On his way back, an angel told Philip to approach the wagon that was approaching. And this eunuch was reading the Bible, which is central. He is like a lamb brought to slaughter, and like a sheep before the shearer, he did not open his mouth. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And this eunuch was honest and said, "How can I understand if no one explains to me?" So he went into the chariot and he began to speak of God. And the eunuch repented. And it is said that he went away rejoicing. How does the kingdom of God approach me and you, dear brother and sister? Does it not approach you when you see your travel friends, when or a telephone call can be something that initiates discussion, and there the kingdom of God approaches. Where two tempted people can bless one another with the gospel. It is said of Moses also, when the day was the hottest, he sat in his tent. And he was tempted, and he had doubts. Those three believing men came to talk to Moses. And it is said, or written, that Moses became happy, and he was refreshed, and he began to serve these people, these men. It has come to mind that portion in the Bible. There are many families here, even large families. When we remember Mary and Elizabeth, Mary was expecting Jesus and Elizabeth, John the Baptist. When Mary went to the villages in the hills to meet Elizabeth, it is written that when they met each other, then the baby moved in Mary's womb. There is a deeper meaning than I do not even understand, and I do not know how to explain it, but I think that surely we who are in our temptations at home, when a believer comes to visit or calls, we feel in our heart as if something moves in our heart. And this way we receive angels in our home. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. God's will is that all of us will one day be with Him in heaven. Each of us has a place there. Jesus suffered on the cross in our behalf. The Father and the Son discussed this. And Jesus said, "You create and I will redeem." We remember the phases. They were not easy for Jesus. When he was praying in Gethsemane on behalf of all of us, also on my behalf, he was sweating blood. He prayed and he said, "Father, if it were possible, take this cup away from me so that I do not have to drink it. But if not, thy will be done." There is something for us believers today to learn from this, that even in temporal suffering and temporal matters, when we ask the Heavenly Father, we add to our prayer, "Thy will be done." Give us day by day our daily bread. This bread, this daily bread, is such an everyday matter that we do not always even remember to ask. We also know this, that there are many people who are lacking daily bread. But it is so also that there would be enough bread for everyone if it was spread evenly amongst all people. But according to Luther, daily bread also includes much else: our home, our spouse, good neighbors, and what all, he says. But according to the Word of God, it also includes the most important, and that is the Word of God. When the tempter brought Jesus into the wilderness, Jesus was hungry. The tempter said, "Change those stones into bread." Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which comes from the mouth of God." This is important to remember. that when we rest around the Word of God and we go to services, and when we, in this way, we battle against the enemy of the soul in this world, believing the gospel, believing our sins forgiven. This is that bread from which the Spirit lives, our soul lives. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. This is perhaps the most important matter in this place, that we have our sins forgiven. And it comes to mind Jacob, who thought that the work of the kingdom was successful because of him. He took honor away from God. And when Jacob was talked to, he found himself to be sinful, and he realized that he is just the sower, and it is God who gives growth. Jacob had only one question: I will not let you go until you bless me. The prodigal son was mentioned already in the previous sermon, but he had only one question. When he was sitting amidst the ruins of his life, he had only one question when he remembered the house of his father, where there was plenty to eat. Forgiveness was preached there without asking. He thought that if he could become even a servant, but he became a full-fledged member of the kingdom of God. And he had only that question, that everything else was second rate, but his soul longed for food, for nutrition. The forgiveness of sins. It is good to have one's sins forgiven, and it is not easy to ask for forgiveness, but it is also not easy to forgive if our neighbor has transgressed against us. It feels difficult, but at least I myself have found many times when I remember how much I have received forgiveness, then why can't I forgive another who has done so little against me? Before this sermon, one brother comforted me with a text message, and he asked that I would remember families with children. He did not necessarily mean that in this sermon, but they also have many temptations. Those with big families have temptations. And he hoped that they would all have the strength to endeavor and believe to the end. Forgiveness. In marriage and to children and to all. It is difficult but very important. We cannot emphasize the significance of the gospel too much in marriage or in wellness of a marriage. The gospel helps us to forget our disagreements after disagreements, and when we can believe our sins forgiven with the power of grace, we also have the strength to forgive our spouse and the members of our family and everyone. Forgiveness. Life seems more light, and we are able to start with a clean slate. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God does not tempt anyone, but because of our own lusts we are tempted. David was not tempted by God, but David fell because he did not go where he was supposed to go. He was as if on vacation. He was on vacation from his endeavor, and he ended up in the sin of murder. But he did not accuse God, but he repented from his sins, and God gave him a new opportunity, and then God received the glory. David knew that he had done wrong. Deliver us from evil. Jesus prayed in his farewell sermon. He prayed to the Father, not that he would take them away from this world, but that he would protect them in this world. God has protected people. In the Bible, we are told that people were saved from the burning oven and from the mouth of a lion. So it is possible for him to protect us also. And is it not a miracle of miracles? At least I find myself, that I find myself in the kingdom of God. God has loved much and protected me much. Many times I have fallen into sin, but God has loved me, and he protects us all, even us believers of this day. We have a God who hears our prayers, and he answers in his time. Everyone who has a turn to serve has this same prayer, that God would give such words through his weak servants, that these greetings from heaven would be lifting the traveler, lifting his gaze away from his own heart. We cannot find anything there to present to God. I also want to encourage you, look with eyes of faith at what Jesus has done in our behalf. This redemption was so great and so complete that we do not need our own efforts. We can believe all our sins forgiven by grace. The Holy Spirit does not have a mouth. That is why God uses his servants to proclaim this decision of grace I, as one servant of God, want to approach you who is struggling in the midst of temptations and sins. You can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Unto peace, freedom, and joy. This way you can live true the words of the letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. Do not be worried about anything. You will receive all that you need by praying to God. We have such a good God who forgives our sins. And even you who are listening to this and you feel that your heart is longing for the gospel, or you who have given up this most precious faith, this treasure of which is said, search ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and after this all else will be given unto you. You also have permission to return to this group of God's people, to this group in amongst which it is so good to live, because sins are forgiven by grace in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name, amen.